Amen. Welcome to week four. It's great, Chris. Welcome to week four. This series, I'm telling you, has really been, I think, revolutionary for some people in this room. I'm getting just reports back from people who are just really in a relationship with the Lord is going to another level. Their devotional is really challenging people and helping them focus inwardly so that God can really bless them outwardly in their life. Because, you know, in the Christian life, we work in and then out. It's not out and in. And so when you talk about inner transformation, sometimes that takes time. And the scripture, as you saw on the screen, where it says, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It is a transformation so that you be able to prove what God is good, acceptable, and perfect will. And it's not an easy transformation because you're going from the effects of the old nature, knowing that we live in the new nature, but we're still fighting some of that old in our life. And so that transformation takes place in our life over time. But God is so good, he brings us into seasons of our life when that process continues to go, because God wants us to continue to be molded and changed in our life. And so even as today, as we go into week four, today we're really talking about the rest of God and the Sabbath of God. And I think sometimes we look at this a little bit differently because we all have different ideas of what it looks like to rest in our life. But I want to propose the idea to you that resting in God does not mean doing nothing. While we're resting in God, we are hoping in God too at the same time. And so we can get into danger where we're resting, but we're not hoping. Because you know how your mind works, that if you are not occupied with something, you begin to go on trails that you probably don't need to go down on in your life. And you can begin to create problems for yourself just in your own mind. If you're not where you need to be and your mind is not secure and you're not focused on God, number one, and then what he's asked you to do. And so when we talk about this idea of Sabbath, I think when you think of Sabbath, what does it look like? When in Jewish tradition, a Sabbath is this. It is from Friday night sundown until Saturday night sundown. It is a 24-hour period where we stop work and we enjoy God's creation and the things that he has created. It is a 24-hour period. Some of you might say it is impossible for me to do that because of my lifestyle. The Bible says that God, he is the Lord of the Sabbath. And so I'm not here bringing judgment, or we're not talking about what traditionally you should be doing. Traditionally, that's what it looks like. But in your life, you need to find a rhythm for yourself where you are working and you are resting. Because it's not just about you working six and then, you know, the world says, well, I'm going to work 5 days and I can't wait for the weekend. You know how it is, right? You go into work and Monday it's already, oh, I can't wait for the weekend. You got 5 days, man. You got to work. And they're living and they're working for the weekend. As a believer, that shouldn't be the case. There needs to be a work-rest rhythm that takes place in your life so you are replenishing yourself so that you can give out at your work, you can give out in your homes, and then you can be the best you can be. But if you're working and you're saying, well, I'm just going to work till I drop, that is an unhealthy view. And so if you know anything we've talked about and read over the last several weeks, when you begin to sense tenseness in your body and you are physically suffering illness or there are things happening in your body, you need to stop and take stock of what's taking place because there's something happening in your body that's affecting and that you need to really pay attention to that. Sometimes we overlook things when we should be looking at them. Because it's one thing to work, but it's one thing to work yourself into an early grave. And so you've got to learn that rhythm. And listen, I am by no means telling you I have the rhythm down, but I am telling you that what God has been speaking and challenging is this, is that you got to find this rhythm, work hard, and you can play hard, but understand that rest is important for you because that is a place where you really find your true strength and joy in me. Isn't it great when you have a worship experience and you really can feel the presence of God and you feel strengthened by it? This is what God's idea of rest is like for you. Once you get into a position of rest in him, there's a strength that comes in that does not come any other way because you recognize that you're not doing this in your own strength. You're doing it by his strength. And so when the Bible says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, it is true. You are to do that. And then love your neighbor as yourself. But God does require us giving of ourselves in order for us to enter into that rest in our life. Do you understand? And so the Bible also talks about laboring to come into his rest. But we don't have time to go into all that today. But there's a sense of satisfaction that comes from work. Would you say that you get a sense of satisfaction from working? You should. Because God has given us the ability to work, and he's given us talents and abilities to be able to do that. But there comes a time where we've got to stop. And this is number one. You got to stop and cease from all work. This is what rest is. Paid and unpaid. Because what you were saying is you were saying that, God, you are more important to me, and my work is not. And I recognize you as the author and finisher of my faith, and that you have given me the ability to work, and I put my work back in your hands. And I'm also trusting you with my money. Because what happens is that sometimes people think, well, if I just work harder, then I'm going to make more. In cases, God does give you opportunity to do that. But in other cases, God will tell you that's enough. That's enough. And that's been the challenge for me, is when God says that's enough, it's enough. Not to push. Because you have to understand something about God. You are not him. And he is. And God could take what you've done and what you've worked for and multiply it so that you have enough to do what you need to do with it. The key is are you giving him and are you tithing? If you are not tithing and you are not in that position in your life where you're giving back to him, it's going to be hard for him to bless what you're giving to him if you're not giving him anything. Because when you begin to recognize that it's all his anyway, it's easier for you to let go and say, it's yours. This is hard for people. Because people want to hold on and think, if I just hold on, then I'll get more. But it's really opposite to what the Bible teaches. The Bible says, if you lose, you'll get more. If you lose your life for my sake, I'll give it back to you. If you give, it'll be given back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Not if you hold. And if you know anything about the relationship with Jesus Christ, the Bible says that for God so loved the world that he gave. And so when Jesus was on that cross, he gave everything that he had, not holding back. And so you serve a God who does not hold back. God cannot love you any more than he loves you right now. It's impossible. God has already loved you enough. He's already forgiven you. He loved you. He demonstrated that on the cross for you. And so there's no getting back up on that cross and dying for your sins. There was a sacrifice that was paid once and for all. And now he sits at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for you. And so God has a plan and a purpose for you. His arms are open for you. They're not closed. And so what he requires of us is that we give back to him. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice to him, a living sacrifice. He said, listen, it's your reasonable act of service. What I'm asking you to do is I'm asking you to give back to me everything. It's the least that you can do. It's reasonable. He said it's reasonable because of what I've done for you. And our issue is that we don't realize to the depth or the degree of what God has actually done for us. And so this is what resting helps us to do. We stop, cease all work, and recognize that there are other things happening in the world than just me and getting what I need to get in my life. And the second thing is we rest. We rest. One of the things we were talking about in our brotherhood was this idea of active recovery, is doing something in your life that helps you recover and get you back into a great place emotionally so that you can be able to focus in your life what God has called you to do. And so an act of recovery, what does that look like for you? For Lewis, it's washing his car, okay? That was something that he used. That's just something that's his time where he can actively recover, get his mind right, and it's a great time where you can just decompress. Find something where you can decompress and that you can allow God to blow life back into you, the life that has been left you during the week. Whatever it is, find that place of rest. And it's another place of where we take delight. It's the third thing. What are some of the things in your life that you delight in doing? One of the hard things, I think, for Christians is this, is that we have a hard time thinking that God actually does want us to enjoy things at times. That he has created us with those desires to enjoy things and to engage in things because we're so bent on sometimes building the kingdom, and that is our mandate, yes. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But we understand that part of what God has created us to do is also to have fun and delight in his creation and what he has created. He said, I didn't just put this thing here for you to look at. I actually want you to create, and I want you to actually to explore and to enjoy what I've given you. And so what? Ask yourself this question. What gives you delight in your life? What is it? And engage in that. Because those are the things that God has placed inside of you, clues, so that you can really become closer to him. That's why they're there. One of the things we talked about last week was knowing ourselves so that we can know God better. As you begin to understand who you are, you begin to have a deeper understanding and appreciation for who God is. Because you know that God has placed those things inside of you first. You didn't conjure them up. God already placed those things inside of you first, part of your DNA. And God said, these are the things that I've placed inside of you that you have a tendency to lean toward, the good things I placed on there, because those are the things and how I wired you in your life. I placed them there. And so if there are things in your life right now that you enjoy to do, God placed them there first. And so enjoy them. It does us no good if you're not a happy person. If God has placed these things in your life to be able to enjoy, do that. Engage in it. Find a movie. Find something that you like to do and do it. Connect to it. Engage in it. And don't feel bad about it. Don't feel bad about it. Because that is the very thing that God is going to use to really help you draw closer to Him, but also to help you see better in your life. Do you know sometimes all it takes is for you just to get away, connect with the things that you love to do, and you begin to see better in your life? Because you can become so clouded by what's happening in the world that you forget, number one, that God is actually in control of it all anyway, and that these things are here for you to engage in so that you can see better. And the last thing is that you're able to contemplate who God is. Isn't that what resting does? It forces you to contemplate who God is. And we're going to get deeper into this right now. You begin to contemplate who God is, and you begin to understand, really, that God has this all under control. All under control. And it forces you to go on your own journey with God so that you can think on God and the way He created things, but also it fosters an intimate relationship with Him. Deeper revelation comes when you're at rest. When you're in a place of rest in your life, God can speak to you because you're calm. And you're able to see things. I see things better when I'm at rest in my life. When I'm connected with the things I love to do and I'm moving in a direction where I feel like God is calling me to move in, I begin to see things better. And God begins to show me things about who He is and about His love for me and about His plans for me. Because what happens with us is that those things sometimes get buried in our life, and God allows circumstances to come in to get us to a point of where we're seeking Him again. One of the things that you begin to realize with God after a while of walking with Him is that God has a great way of tugging you. He knows how to tug. And He tugs you for a reason. Because He wants to make sure that you're still there. And really, more importantly, He wants to make sure that you know that He's still there and that He has not forgotten His promise to you. His promise is to love you faithfully and to perform what He wants to perform in your life. The Bible says that He who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. Sometimes we think He forgets, but every once in a while He'll come in and tug. I'm here. And so that gives us the strength to be able to continue to seek Him and to continue to move where He calls us to move in our life. So contemplating God. And God is so good, and He will wreck your plans. He will wreck and interrupt your process. You think you're going one way and doing something else, but God will come in and mix something up real quick, and it totally changes the trajectory of your life and what you're thinking about, because God wants you to realize that I'm in control and I direct this thing. And so just so you forgot, I'm here. That's just who He is. And so He'll interrupt the process because He wants to get in. Most of the time we're asking God, God, bless me. And God said, listen, I just want to get in, because if I get in, it becomes blessed. I'll get in and I'll bless it, but you got to let me in. You got to let me in. But that means also allowing me access to you as a person, not just to your stuff. Yeah, okay, I'll give you my money. I'll give you my family. You can even like have my car if you need it, to borrow it, but give it back. You know, you can have, but listen. But God says, listen, what I want is I want access to you. Because this is where the work is done. That's why the enemy fights your rest patterns. Because this is where the work guns. Because then God can come in and say, okay, listen, now we can start doing something. You see that shame that comes up every time you rest? You see that guilt that comes up every time you rest? I want to deal with that right there. Because what happens with us is that, and we're afraid of what we're going to find if we do rest. Sometimes we can keep ourselves so busy, and we know that we should stop a little bit, but we're afraid, and we know that there are some things that God wants to deal with in our life, because what happens is I'm abnormally reacting in my flesh when normally I would not. There are things that are coming up in my life that I'm thinking about, and the shadow part of my life is coming and overtaking really the life part of me. And so when that stuff begins to happen, we know that God is allowing this stuff to happen in our life so that we can see it. And so what is God showing you right now in your life? This whole series, first week, was about beginning to address your shadow. Guys, throw the definition of what the shadow is up again for me, please. Your shadow is the accumulation of untamed emotions, less than pure motives, and thoughts that, while largely unconscious, strongly influence and shape your behaviors. And you know God is so good that you've been sensing and experiencing that this whole month. Because the moment you start to make progress, that shadow starts to come up and says, you can't do that, man. Number one, what are they going to say? Guilt, shame, doubt, abandonment, inferiority. All these things begin to come up. And instead of us really walking in the light or walking in what God has called us to walk in, we begin to shrivel up. But God says, I want to break the power of the shadow that it has over you so that you actually can continue to walk in the light and still know that you're mine. Okay? You're mine. Because that shadow is just an indication that you're making progress. You know that, right? It's an indication that you're making progress in me. And so the enemy is going to allow and use that in order to come up in and to throw that in your face because you know who you really are. Right, Sean? Right, Misty? Because you know the enemy does talk like that. You know what's really underneath, so why are you even pretending? And so God wants to bring you from that place to this place that you say, you know what? I might know what's underneath, but I've been redeemed. I've been saved. God has done a work in my life. I'm no longer that person. I am blessed. I have overcome. I am overcoming, and that what you saw yesterday, you don't see no more. I'm not that person. I am this person today. I made progress. And so remind yourself and remind the enemy of what you've come from and what you've been through and stand up to it and continue to move in your life. You are all the way up. You are seated in heavenly places. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are those things regardless of how you feel that day. You are those things. But the thing is that God wants to couple the feeling with the reality. Listen, imagine, you know what? I feel like I am the righteousness of God. I am positionally, let's get theological here, positionally, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. God says, listen, I want to take your position, your standing, and I want to mesh it with your state of affairs right now. I want you to walk not only in that, but I also want you to walk, imagine, emotionally at the same pace and place of where your standing is. So that not only is it positionally done, but also you feel that you know what? I am the righteousness of God. I am loved. I am beloved. I can do the things that God has called me to do. God is actually for me. I am healed. I'm not lame. I am whole. And guess what? Once that begins to happen, there's nothing that can stop you in your life because there's no devil, no negativity, no mindset that can stop you because emotionally you're healed. Emotionally you've dealt with it. God has brought healing in your life. And so when the enemy comes in to try to bring distraction, it doesn't work no more because you're healed on the inside. That's why the fight is so hard because he's trying to get on the inside. The inside. I love you. I love you. But I want you to feel that, God said. Love you. Said emotional intelligence is responsible for over half of job performance. Over half. It is so important for people to feel emotionally engaged and healthy that it affects the way they perform their job in their life. How much more, when it comes to Christianity and spirituality, does the way we feel about ourselves affect how we live for God? And it's hard. Christians go through difficulties and they go through battles because there's a huge fight over their identity. It's a huge fight.
God took them out of where they were, and he placed them in this place, but they still feel like they're stuck there, and there's this fight over identity and who they are and really becoming who God has called them to be, and there's just fight for them. But I'm here to tell you that God wants you to actually win the fight. If the war is already done, yeah, you have to engage in the battle, but you can win this thing. You can make progress. What kind of God will we serve if he's given us promises and he saved us from what he saved us from and we're still struggling with the same stuff? Same stuff. Years later, never really entering into the promised land, never really seeing wholeness, never really doing what God has called us to do, never really staying up, never really doing it and seeing blessing. What kind of a God would say, listen, I just saved you there. Struggle the rest of your life here because that's just the way it is, brother. I just don't think we serve a God that way. We don't serve a God that way. We know that there's going to be struggle. We know there's a battle between the flesh and the spirit. They're warring against one another. But we don't serve a God who cannot give us victory and cannot raise us up and say, listen, this is what I did with this life and took them from here to here. I can do the same thing for you. We don't serve a God who cannot do that. It's not down with the mentality where it's like, well, we got to suffer the rest of our life because we're Jesus followers. Listen, I'm poor in spirit, meaning I am humble and thankful for what God has done, but I'm not walking around with my head down. I'm not walking around in fear, and I'm not walking around in loathing just because of who I am. I love Jesus. Really? I'm not following that, man. Sorry. I need a God who saved me, who I know who's for me, who is actually at war for me and who's actually preparing things for me. I need a God who I know is on the throne and doing stuff. I'm not walking around. I got to just worry about whether or not God's going to come through and whether or not he can do it or not. And that's just not who God is. So if you want to join a church or want to be involved with people like that, you can find people like that out there who just like to suffer and be like, Lord, come through for me. I'm just poor and I'm humble. That is not what God is looking for. He said, humble yourself under my mighty hand and I will raise you up. Yeah, recognize that you are not in control. Recognize that you cannot do this in your own strength. And God said, once you begin to do that, I will begin to raise you up. But I don't want you in this position your whole life. Stand up. It's just not God. Sorry. One of the things in the fitness world we do is, anybody heard of Tabata? What Tabata is? All the fitness people in here do, okay? What it is, it's 20 seconds of work, 10 seconds of rest, 20 seconds of work, 10 seconds of rest for 8 rounds, okay? And what it does is that it trains your body to go hard for 20 seconds and rest, and it gets it in a rhythm so that it can complete the set so that at the end you actually can complete it and that you don't fall over and, you know, et cetera, okay? So, but here's the deal. On my phone, I have it's called a Tabata timer, and the guy's on the phone, and it goes down from 10 all the way down to 0, and it goes 3, 2, 1, go. And for 20 seconds, I'm working. When it gets down to 10 seconds, it says resting. Then, as it gets down to closer, it'll say 3, 2, 1, and then go. And that constant is going on for 8 rounds. Constant. That's how your life rhythm should be. You're working, resting, working, resting, so you actually can complete the assignment that God has called you to complete. Not so that you can go at it hard and at the end you don't even get halfway through because you're exhausted. But you learn your rhythm, the rhythms of grace for you. What that looks like. I work and I'm resting, but I'm in that constant flow. I don't have to get myself back up and do it. I'm just in that constant flow because my body has trained to understand what that looks like. And the more I do it, the more I realize what I can do and what I can't do. And that's a process that I go through in my life. And then what I begin to see is that I can go longer or shorter. And then at the end, you begin to realize, man, all the progress that I've made just by finding that rhythm in my life. A lot of people who work out hate it. They hate it when they come in the gym because, oh God, here we go again. We have to do it. But it's good for you. And sometimes in your life, things that you don't like to do are actually good for you. That's what God does. I know you don't like it, but it's good for you. It's good for you, man. gluten-free. It's good for you. It's good. It can be. Thank you. Thank you, doctor. It's good for you. Okay. It's good for you. It's good. But in our life, sometimes we're asking God like to take away things from us so we don't have to walk through it. And God said, no. This is good for you. Oh, man, it's good for you because it's producing something in you that, man, far outweighs. We try to skip it. God says, no, I want you to walk in it. Because it's going to produce something in you. It's going to produce perseverance, and not only perseverance, but character, and not only character, but hope. And hope does not disappoint. Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So we're trying to avoid. God's trying to get us to walk through because there's a blessing in this process. A lot of people sing about the glory of God. Lord, I want the glory of God, but they don't want to walk through anything to get the glory of God in their life. They want to be changed, but real change comes when we embrace the process and difficulty in our life. When in that process you contemplate God and what he's doing, and God comes in and shows up and he begins to build intimacy with you and him, and then all of a sudden change takes place in your life and you're no longer the same. You become more like him, because that's what the goal is, right? No, isn't that the goal? That is the goal. Wait, no. Yeah, it is the goal. To become more like him. And so that means that I'm going to get in with you and we're going to do this thing together. And so when I come in and when I take over, I'm doing it for a reason. So all that stuff that's taking place in your life, it's just me. I'm just mixing it up. Sometimes we think it's the enemy and we think it's the devil and, I rebuke the devil. It's not the devil. God's in there working it out with you. Your biggest struggle is not with the enemy. It's with you and God. Your biggest struggle. God's trying to get you out of the way so he can actually get in and do the work. You don't want to get out of the way. He's trying to do the work with you, and it's like, Lord, I don't know. I'm trying to learn different things. And it's like, I don't know. Do you dance? Do I dance? Do you take the lead? Do I take the lead? This whole thing. It's like, I don't. You're trying to work. That's the process, right? This whole thing is being worked out. You're learning something different. And so, but in the midst of it, God's grace is so good and sufficient that he overcomes all that, because it's based out of love and his love for you. And so he's in that process with you, and he's changing you and molding you into something beautiful. And it's hard because it's not natural. But when the Spirit of God comes in and he begins to work, he's doing it for a reason. And so if I'm getting in your life and I'm trying to bring up stuff and I'm trying to heal you some things, it's for a reason, because I really want you to healed and whole and steadfast. Steadfast. Immovable. Always abounding. In the work of the Lord. Knowing that what you're doing is not in vain. Let's all stand to our feet if we could. You know, one of the things I think we struggle with in our life is whether or not God is really going to be there for us. Is he going to give us up? Because we can't seem to get it right sometimes. I was in a car yesterday. And I was coming home. And, you know, sometimes you know God is sovereign and that things happen. And you walk into a car and all of a sudden a song comes on. And the song is there. And the gist of the song was, basically, if I told you I was going to be there and I was not going to leave you, I meant it. Because I was in a process in my head about something. And walking into that was God's little way. I told you I would never leave you or forsake you. You're crazy, but I will never leave you or forsake you. And we can take comfort in that. Sometimes we don't think that he's there on the road, but every once in a while, pulls it. For me, that was another pull on the rope. Hey, I'm here, bro. I'm here. But he's a good God that he allows us to work it out. Work it out. But at the same time, know that I'm there. I'm working it out with you, but I want you to work it out. I want you to see you're big enough. I want you to work it out. I want you to contemplate me. I want you to discern me. I want you to do some introspection, okay? Know that by my spirit, I can lead you where you need to go, but just know, I'm there. I'm there. That's why he's good. It's an adventure. It's an exploration. You work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It's your journey. It's yours. But it's an exciting journey because sometimes you're down low, but sometimes you're up high, but it doesn't matter. He says, I'm with you there. I'm with you down low. I just want you to know that I'm with you. And I'm actually here doing it with you. So this week, when you begin to take steps and all of a sudden you begin to feel that shadow coming in, closing in on you, you need to stop it and say, you know what? No. No. I know who God is. And when you take steps to rest and to really begin to enjoy the things of God, to know that guilt is present. It likes to make its way into our lives when we begin actually to enjoy things, because sometimes it comes in the form of, well, you know, you haven't really been great this week at the things that you're supposed to do. You haven't worked hard enough, or, you know, you really haven't really been walking with God the way you want to. Guilt has a way of just coming up. You got to shut that guilt down. Say, now, I'm going to enjoy this. Because you begin to understand that it's not based upon your performance, but it's based upon his unconditional love for you. And that God is so good that he can unconditionally love you and bring you to the place where you need to be in your life. Not that you're not working and doing what you have to do, because God does say, hey, listen, you're in partnership with me. But at the same time, know that I can bring you to where you need to be. I unconditionally love you. However, enjoy me. Enjoy the things that I've created. If I put it in there, explore it, please. Know that I put it there first. Know that there is nothing in your mind that you're thinking about that, number one, that's going to push God away from you. And the desires that are in your heart that you feel like God has placed there, they're not there by accident. God has put them there. And it's not there to trick you. And so you have to look at it in that way. That if the desire is there, and some of you have had desire since you were kids. Kids. And God said, and he's showing you, this is the way I wired you. This is what I put in there. Don't allow the world, don't allow circumstances to crowd that out. Delight in it. And once you begin to enjoy you like I enjoy you, I think some of y'all need to hear that right now. God actually enjoys you. Enjoy you, man. Rest in that when you leave today. He enjoys being with you and he wants the best for you. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace, your love for us. God, we pray as we leave here today that we would leave here with just a greater awareness of your love for us, what you have. Knowing that nothing could ever separate us from your love. Nothing. And God, as you continue to take us on our journey where we need to be, God, that we would keep that in the forefront of our mind. That you're never going to take us where you have not gone. And that we can trust you in the process, trust you in this journey. I thank you for people walking in healness, walking in wholeness, God, walking in faith, walking in confidence to know who they are. Thank you for your grace and your mercy that's always evident and at work in our life. And God, as we move on into the next place and phases of our life, that we would move on with purpose. Resting and working, God, resting in you, finding the rhythm that suits our life and what you've called us to live like so that we can be healthy and effective for you. God, bring us to a place of where we don't relapse or we regress back into old ways of thinking, but we can stay where you've called us to stay with an eye in the future where you've called us to go, because we know that you have good things for us and we don't want to miss it. You've got good things for us. It doesn't matter what the enemy has said. It doesn't matter what we tell ourselves. You have good things for us because you're a God who delights in his kids. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen.